Yes, people. Welcome to the Property Strategies Podcast. Welcome back to the Property Strategies Podcast. You got your boy Gokes in the building.
Your boy Kenny.
Got your boy Akin in the building.
You also got in the building. We got a special guest.
Denzel Jones.
DJ.
He's got a young king in the building.
DJ.
Man of the youngest in charge, boy.
How you doing, bro?
Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, man. We're blessed, man. We're just trying to
come on.
Get ready for summer, you know. Mm-hmm. We're getting a holiday.
Oh, jeez.
Where are you looking?
Dubai.
Dubai.
Yeah.
Come on. DXB.
Dubai. How long are you going for?
I'm going for 10 days. He's going for 3 days.
This guy just came back from India as well.
3 days.
Yeah, this guy's really living stuff like.
So hey. in and out.
Live life. Yeah.
What about yourself, though? Tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, and just a brief summary, then we'll kind of get back into some in-depth stuff.
Cool. So, brief summary. So, yeah, I'm Denzel. If you know about me, like, I've been always passionate about like self-development, entrepreneurship from quite a young age. So, yeah, I've had some businesses growing up. And then my two main businesses now is so DJ Property Solutions, which is like my sourcing for investors and stuff. Then also the Gen Z Club, which I run with my friends Poku and Austin, where we host like networking events for like young entrepreneurs and stuff. So alongside that as well, I'm at uni. So my final year, studying Nottingham. So
who are you studying?
So business management and entrepreneurship.
Oh, nice.
So yes, it's quite a decent relevant. Course. Yes, it's relevant. And some of the things, people always say that, like, uni, is it relevant? But I feel like, do you know what is, I've learned a lot of stuff, maybe not necessarily the practical side of things, but even just like the independence, being in a new city, meeting people, like the networking there is crazy. Like some like international students, you know, like their parents.
Listen.
Got money.
Brother, if I have one regret from uni, I've been bougie. I've been, let me stick with my black people. Let me just stick with my group in it, But if I could go back, like I would literally speak to everyone, man. Just network. You just don't know who knows who. Like there's money there to be made, isn't it? So definitely.
Yeah, man. But we want to hear about your journey. It's so crazy because you're in uni.
That's
the first question.
Because normally we normally start at a project. We say, okay, did you go uni?
You're in uni.
This is me now, isn't it? So
It'd be good to hear about your story from school.
When did your
introduction to business, property, all that kind of stuff? Like, where did it start?
Cool. So I'll say business in general, I think, start from my mum, because my mum's a single parent, but she's always like had two jobs and run her own business. So I used to see, initially seen a struggle growing up. I was trying to use that pain and like turn it into a drive. So like, I just said to myself, cool, I want to make sure I can make money to like provide for her and provide for my family. So from young, I just listened to like, you know, the Tony Robbins, like listening to all these type of podcasts.
So this is when you say from young, you're talking
14,
year 10.
Jeez. 14.
You know what Kendra was doing in year 10? What he was doing at that age.
No comment.
But yeah, I said that's from 14, but actually, to be fair, before that, I wanted to be a footballer.
Oh, right. Okay,
knee injury.
Your knee?
Is that real crazy? This guy's had a knee injury for like 10 years.
The real thing.
Think about it. Even if it's a real thing, no one believes you.
Exactly.
Anyway, never let me get to my
So I think, property, I was just doing a little, like, I'm trying to think what I was doing initially. I found just like selling sweets at school, like the usual. Then I think when it came to property, so my mom's an accountant. So one day, I was chilling at home. I must have saw like some of her papers. She had like so many zeros in it. I was thinking that, like, right, who's this? And there was some guy called Douglas. So this guy is like a multimillionaire from property, but he was like 60 years old. So I asked my mom, like, you know, I'm interested in this. I want to make this type of money. Can you introduce me to her?
Okay. So Douglas.
To Douglas. So yeah, literally when she said that's cool. So I must have reached out to him. And then from there, I was just shadowing him. Like, cause I was like success leaves clues. So that's kind of where I wanted to be. So I said to him, you know, I didn't have the money to pay him. I was like, cool, let me see if I can offer a different type of service. So I used to go to his office. I think I was even doing my GCSEs at the time.
So that's,
so I'd be like, after school, I'll come like do like tea, coffee, like And he'll just be like going through gems with me. Like, he started off with personal development before property because I was still quite young and stuff like that.
But, smart man.
Yeah, he'll just be teaching me different things. And then like, it kind of led to him taking me to networking events where I'll meet new people, introduce me to like rent to rent, this and that. And then like he actually was like to me, because he's very old school, so he's like to me like, I don't want to hold your hand through it. I want you to go out and learn for yourself. So at the time he was like trying to get leads for, because he specialized in like assisted sales and like lease options. So I think he was like to me, go on Gumtree, Facebook. And I just literally, I'll be in school just messaging people on Gumtree, Facebook about their property. And every time I would learn something different, you know, just kind of trying to build that rapport. So I think, yeah, that's how I started initially in a property journey. Then I was just looking on YouTube, podcasts, and
Sorry, how old are you?
How old am I now?
Yeah.
So I'm 20 now, yeah.
Damn.
I even thought it was 23. I said 20. I haven't started 20s.
That is not
That's normal. Amazing.
That's amazing. See, when you were looking for on Gumtree, would you, at that point, were you just looking for Douglas, or were you just like, I'm just looking?
Yeah, so it was for him more so. It's more like getting him leads. So like, yeah, I used to get him leads and bring him to the office, and I watch him negotiate like with people, like so, because it must be people like with negative equity and stuff like that. So like, he'll be able to like work out some lease option and seeing how I was like, raw, like I was like impressed by, because I think on YouTube I was just seeing about like obviously like the buy, refurbish, refinance, but I never really heard about the lease options. But I'm glad that he taught me from that way, because he always says like, you know, look, when you're looking for property or looking for deals, sorry, look for people, not for property as such, because everyone's looking for property. But if you go and look for people, you can kind of find their like pain point, as you call and try to offer a solution for them. So that's what I learned from quite a young age.
Did, so these teachings and stuff, is this what led to the DJ Property Solutions? Or
So
what was the segue from learning with Douglas to that? Like, what was that transition like?
So I think when I finished GCSEs, I said to myself, you know, I actually want to take this full time. And he said to me, even if you haven't got money to do deals, he told me about sourcing. So I was like, you can be like the middleman, you know, get some investors, find a deal for them. So I created a company, I think, when I was 17. I think it was 17, I actually can't even remember, So from there, I was attending networking events. I would literally just pitch myself. So I'll be like in a suit, trying to pitch myself, get investors, and finding them deals. But yeah, I know people say like, you can just sell a deal and get money quickly, but
yeah, it's not like that.
First deal, probably like 7 months, man.
Who's your first person you sold to? What was the deal?
So the first, actually, no, the first deal was a co-sourcing deal. Okay. So what happened was someone was looking for an SA in Milton Keynes. So I was just literally just calling up on Rightmove, Gumtree, Open Rent. I managed to find the deal, and then that person had the investor. I had the deal.
Okay.
50-50 kind of thing, and that's what I say to people as well. Like, I think when they try to get into sourcing at a young age, obviously compliance can cost like a K. I'm like, yeah, just see who you can partner up with. I think a lot of people like to say, like, I've done it by myself, this and that.
We always say this, isn't it?
Do you know what I mean? But partnerships are key, like, because you can do multiple deals. Doesn't worry about compliance. And at that age, so I think my first deal, I think I was 17, so 17 getting, so I think it was 2.5 divided by 2, so 1.25. I was like,
that's bread.
That's bread back
money. You know, the EMA then.
Yeah, exactly. So.
That's mad. So so you got that, was like your first ever deal.
Yeah, that was my first SA deal. And then I went
What did you use the money for though? Like, what did you
just did you go to the
rave
and just pop?
Yeah, I splashed that money. I splashed that.
No kicks.
Jordans. I splashed it. But I think that kind of even made me realize, like, cool. Although, because I think after that deal, it took me like months to get any deals. So that kind of made me realize, like, cool, it's not about how much money you make, but how much money you keep, kind of thing. So that's when it kind of switched me on. So I even got like a part-time job at the time as well. So just trying to do both and making sure that I save a lot. That's why I got interested into like stocks and this and that. I'm trying to put my money like separate as well.
Okay, cool.
One thing I love about your generation, like the Gen Z generation, is that, man, they love investing. Especially with this, with Bitcoin, stocks.
They're on it now.
Yeah, the stats on you lot is unbelievable. So, you know, you could talk about that a little bit as well. Like, you know, you know, what other stuff are you interested in? Obviously, we're getting deep into the property
source
stuff. Like, what are some of the other stuff you're looking at and things like that?
But even touching on that, because obviously with the Gen Z club that I run, so there's so many like young entrepreneurs, and there's
I've seen that thing. I need to come through still.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm too old, but I'm
wait, are you guys millennials?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, is that what's
millennials?
Millennials is like, I think Gen Z is like 16 to 24.
Man's born 1991 still.
You're a millennial, probably.
Come on.
I think millennials like...
That's the millennial. That's the
stretch.
That's
a millennial.
89 is not millennial.
There's Gen Z. 89. And then there's millennials. And then there's boomers. That's the older lot, right?
I don't know about that. Sure
But so I was saying, so even though I used to think like, I'm young into business, but 16-year-olds, 70-year-olds, they're killing it. Like, they're doing I think our generations were very risk adverse. So like, we just like see an opportunity, put money in. I think because a lot of people got in time when Bitcoin shot up. So like, they kind of said, so people, like there's people in our community who are like on six figures, this and that, like at a young age, like like one of my boys, he's like moved to Dubai recently, stuff like that, just from like, I think he's like 18.
Shout out to Lamide. I think Lamide spoke at your event, right?
Yeah, Lamide, yeah, she spoke to him in January.
We're gonna have her on the podcast soon as well. Yeah, she's young girl, killing it.
Karate and gems, yeah, definitely.
That's crazy, man.
So with the sourcing business then, so obviously you got your first deal, you sold that one. You know, what made you think that, okay, cool, this is actually a business though. This isn't just like a one-off, I can make this into a business. And how did you start to form the business? You know, who do you start working with?
See, that's actually something that I didn't actually realize at the start, because I just thought, I think you see on YouTube, it seems so easy, but it's actually, you got to realize it's actually a business kind of thing. Like, so
100%.
What I did was actually pay for mentorship. So me, I always like whatever I do, like even when I started the Gen Z Club, I like to see who's doing it well and how I can learn from them kind of thing. So or someone that I paid, like he was about 4 years older than me, but he was killing it in sourcing. So I said to him, okay, cool, I want to pay for your services. And kind of just like shadow, you see what I did. So yeah, he helped me at the start, set up on company's house. And then yeah, so he kind of just taught me, you know, although it's good finding deals, you can't really have a deal unless you got a criteria to match it against. So he was like, find an investor first. So yeah, I'll just be on Facebook, I'll be on networking events, finding criteria. So I think my first five clients, they were like all professionals, so like doctors, stuff like that. So most of them wanted buy-to-lets. So I think the second or third deal I sourced was like a buy-to-let in Nottingham. So as I was in Nottingham,
made sense.
I was building my connections there as well. Yeah. So there's people in Nottingham who I know who like killing it with like a refurb and stuff like that. So you know people like Brighton Investments. All these guys. So yeah, we reached out to them, finding out what areas are good, this and that. And then yeah, from there, I remember sourcing a deal. Then I was like, with buy-to-lets, because the money takes so long to come through conveyance and stuff, I said to myself, cool, let me actually go back to rent-to-rents, because with rent-to-rents, is a quick turnaround. So,
couple weeks.
Yeah, then I went back to rent-to-rents. So yeah, so I said to myself as well, cool, how am I gonna like, build my investors list and make it accessible? So I created a WhatsApp property group chat. So literally, now it's just spammy, but at the time, it was good. So it's like, I think it's got like 200 members now. So literally just people, I'll be putting deals in there, had a mailing list, be emailing it out. And then, yeah, just seeing who would want a deal to take on kind of thing. Yeah.
So these were what, rent-to-rent deals you said you switched back to?
Yeah, rent-to-rent deals. But again, these rent-to-rent deals were in London because Nottingham, yeah, the Article 4, like so saturated of HMOs. So I went back to London just finding different deals. Most of them were actually through agents, you know. There weren't actually many direct to vendor, to be fair. Like, a lot of them were just through agents.
And just had people just calling them.
Calling them. But I think one thing that's key, I think people always try to avoid agents sometimes, thinking direct to vendor, but with agents, once you build a good relationship and you get one deal, they'll give you so many
they
deals.
They can bring you in, man.
Do you know what I mean? So that's what I kind of just, I said, cool, let me just get good relationships with agents. And they start piling in deals. And yeah, that's how I started.
How would you say you kind of built your credibility? Obviously, you're a uni student. You sold one deal before. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, how did you get people to look at you and say, okay, I can trust you to give you a deal? Like, how?
Do you know what it is? And I haven't even got a story about this, but at the start, it was difficult, and I think I had to learn from my mistakes. So there's even, long story short, I think because I was young, I was quite naive.
Yeah.
So one time I must have got bumped. So basically, there was a guy, he was...
this guy's laughing when he said the story. So, you know it's going to be funny.
So it must have been some guy from Dubai, and he's like, so obviously in my head, I'm thinking, Dubai
money, gold, okay.
So he was like, I said to myself, let me just be authentic and tell him like I'm a uni student.
Just trying my best.
And he's like, oh man, you remind me of my younger self.
Okay.
This and that, we went on a Zoom call.
Oh man.
Long story short, got the deal. Like I didn't even do like no contracts or nothing, just got the deal, sent over to him. I think I forgot how much the fee was meant to be, but yeah, he literally just cut me out, blocked me. Even worse, like I think this was even one of his friends that was from the same group chat. Now I was trying to grow my investors list, so he was now saying, oh, I'm from Dubai, I've got a big investors list, you know, I can help you. So he's like to me, listen, if you get this list, you can sell multiple deals. Wow. Again, me being naive, he was like, it's going to be 5K for the list. But I was like, I tried to negotiate it down. Like, I was trying to get a discount very fast. So I was like, do you know what, let me pay 1.25. Then after I sell a deal, I'll pay the remaining.
Yeah.
I sent him the 1.25 blocked.
So he's probably from Loughton or Birmingham. Is he actually from Dubai though?
Actually, he's originally from the UK, you know, but he lives in Dubai. Yeah, he's
legit from Dubai. Damn.
Yeah, so yeah,
you need to put his face up there and just say, you man,
I lie.
Don't work with this guy.
At the time, I wanted to expose him, but I just like,
I wanted to cancel him.
But yeah, man. So I guess I learned a lot from that at the start. I can't remember what the original question was.
I wasn't sure as well. My brain. But one thing I did want to find out though, dealing with investors. Okay. Like, I'm a sourcer as well.
Actually, I remember my question about Kerry.
Yeah, we source those up north as well. But dealing with investors, how's that been? Because I know from my experience, some of them are not really, how can I say, they sometimes have unrealistic expectations of the process. How do you cope with that? Do you know what I mean? Like,
I think at the start, what I do, which is important, I just like set my standards at the start. I'm like, I won't overpromise saying, you know, because sometimes they'll come like, oh, I want 50% ROI. Like,
yeah,
they have 20K.
50% below market value. Do you know what I mean? So,
oh, you can't get me 50% below market value.
Then what's the point?
What are you doing here?
Then what's the point?
Exactly. So I just said from the start, I'm like, do you know what? Obviously, this is like, they told me their criteria. So I always like have a phone call before I take them on as a client. Then I'll be like, okay, cool. That's your criteria. This is what I think we can realistically get. And then over time, I've had to realize it's best to take like a small deposit up front, because there's so many, like, let's say they want a deal, you spend time finding a deal,
waste your time.
Yeah. So it's a hand in it. I think it's just like setting your standard, not letting them walk over you kind of thing. Just letting them know, well, this is how I work. If you like, if you don't want to work with me, then there's whatever thing. I think, because at the start, when you're trying to get clients, you just want to take on anyone, do you know what I mean? But obviously, as you do more deals, you kind of be more selective and like, do you know what? If we don't suit, then I'm not going to work with you kind of thing. Yeah, that's been kind of difficult. And I guess, I remember your question, that was about credibility.
Yeah.
I think credibility, I don't know, I feel just about being authentic, you know? And I feel like as well, because I document my journey on Instagram, people could kind of see, like, I had a website, I had some testimonials. If I ever got really, really stuck, I would like put them in touch with like my mentor kind of thing. But yeah, I would, just showing, because I think sometimes when you try to fake it, people can see between the lines, do you know what I mean? So I just thought, let me just be myself, let them know. And because I was quite clued up on it, because I would like read a lot, go to different events and stuff. And a lot of people I'd actually meet at events. So like, I'll go on stage, pitch my business kind of thing. So they'll even know like, cool, this guy must seem serious. And I think because they saw that I was young, they actually wanted to help me as well. Well, most of them wanted to help me kind of thing. So like I remember there was even times I was selling a deal to someone. He was like, okay, cool. Next time you should do this and this and this. Because I could have easily just walked away with it. And it's like, it's a learning curve kind of thing. So a lot of people, which I'm grateful for, helped me along the journey.
That's good. So, what's been your biggest, except for Douglas, what's been your biggest resource for like knowledge then? Would you say podcasts, YouTube videos?
I'll say even, so I think when I started my journey, you guys weren't about, but even you guys, I think one thing as well, which I appreciate. One thing I appreciate about your podcast, especially, is because when I started property, I just thought it was like for the rich old man kind of
literally,
thing.
Literally.
Do you know what I mean? But when seeing like, it's the man them who are actually doing that, people like Aaron, Alfred, Ethan Hammond,
Aaron, Diego,
like, do you know what I mean? I think just like having that network around you. So like, even though I've been sourcing, I've been trying to look at like going into other projects like flips and stuff. So like, I might just shout Alfred or shout Kazi or shout one of them and they'll give me gems. But then again, just me, like I'm very into like personal development. So like, I like to read, I watch so many YouTube videos. I remember at a time as well, so like LinkedIn. So initially I wanted to be like, do something in marketing. And what I'll just do is spam people on LinkedIn, try and get cool with them. Then I kind of apply that to property. So like, I look at property people, I'll reach out to them, have a phone call, build relationships with them. They'll introduce me to someone else. Like, I always say people, networking is key. There's so many people, like there's a saying, like you're 7 connections away from anyone. So like, even though you may not be able to help me like directly, you may know someone who can help, and then we can exchange ideas. So like, I've got a lot of clients as well through networking, through referrals. And I guess that's all kind of contributed, like taking a bit from everything and 100%. Making my own.
No, I heard that. I mean, some people are probably watching or listening now and thinking, right, man, you make it sound easy, like just network or I'm doing pictures on stage. Like, have you always been clued up? Or would you say is the books you've read? Like, how are you so confident when you do kind of approach it?
Well, I think I've always been a confident person. Like, even in school, I was kind of like the class clown and stuff like that.
That's Kenny.
Is it?
I can testify. It's still you.
But yeah,
I think, again, so I think from young, because I've got older brother, older cousin, so I've always been kind of confident with myself. And my mum, like, she's been like my biggest support. So like, she always like prepare me for you. Shout out to Mumsy, man. So she'd always like prepare me this and that. And then I think as well, because people would like compliment me on my journey kind of thing, or give me more confidence to be like, okay, cool, let me do it. But yeah, at the start, let me not lie, it was, I was quite nervous. And even sometimes, so even like the Gen Z, like my first networking event that I hosted, I was even quite nervous to speak. But yeah, man, I just kind of just see it as like, let me just do it. Like, yeah, feel the fear, just do it anyways, man. Yeah. Like, if something goes wrong, I can learn from it. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, progression over perfection kind of thing. Yeah. So,
Earlier you mentioned that you went into rent to rent. So, like, tell us about your first deal there.
Okay.
And how that
as in for myself or like that?
How did you find it? How did you find
it? Like, for you.
Okay, the first one for myself. So, this was when I've probably been sourcing for a bit now, and then I went into uni. So I was like to myself, cool, sourcing's good, but a lot of it's making other people money. Like, let me actually try and do something for myself. So I was in uni now, and I said to myself, cool, I think rent to rent at the time, I was like, it's going to cost me like 6-7K to start up.
Right.
And I know I'm just started uni. I probably like splashed too much in summer. I was like, how am I even going to afford this? Right. So this is what I say, networking again is key. So I said to myself, cool, if I get clued up in property, I can find a deal and kind of get like a JV partner. Mm. So I was thinking, who like can actually shout that's willing to invest in me? So I was thinking around, and again, mum gave me the deal. I was like, oh, like her brother is like a dentist in Scotland. And again, he's like another one of my mentors as well. So like he's like an all-round businessman. So I said to myself, do you know what? Yeah, let me find a deal. I'll manage everything. Mm. So my first essay that I got for myself was in Nottingham. I was like, I'll manage everything. I'll look after the bookings.
Right.
He just put some money into it as well, but he put the majority in it, him and his business partner. I was like, yeah, we'll just split the profits kind of thing. So find a deal. So that deal was actually, again, through an agent. So after school, I think this was after uni. So I think this was even with Poku, because Poku was getting a rent at the same time. So we just went around Nottingham City Centre, going to Letting's agents, and was like pitching ourselves. Then I got one phone call from a lady, and so she showed me the apartment. Went there.
It was a two-bed, three-bed?
So that was a two-bed, two-bathroom, so one en-suite, very nice essay. And then going, that was a good period of time to have that, because like, my uncle funded a lot of it. I'll be doing it then, like, time does no bookings. I'll bring the man down. You know what I mean? So like, and it was nice. Like, it was a proper nice apartment. So, but with that one, again, so I think it was December 2019, I believe, because I started uni September, but then again, we got into lockdown now. So I think at the time, Airbnb was like blocking our bookings, this and that.
Oh, yeah.
But you're still paying
that.
Like, so we was paying about 1.2 every night. I think it was getting about £90 per night.
Mm.
So it was getting good occupancy at the start, but then we got into lockdown. So yeah, like after like a year, like we had a break clause. So it was like, we're losing too much money from this. Yeah. So we gave that back kind of thing. But again, I learned a lot from it. You know, I met a lot of people. So. Yeah, I'm grateful for that experience.
Even with the pitching and stuff like that, because you said you went around to agents to pitch, did you have a suit on? Like,
yeah, so I had a suit, I was just smart. And
I've seen your suit.
I appreciate it. So I would literally just say to him, so what I'd always do though is I'll reference to my uncle's company. So I'd be like, so I think when it's in person, I'll reference to my uncle, because like, they see me, like I've kind of got like a baby face as well, so like, I think I'm young. So I'll be like, me and my uncle, he's got a successful, which he does, like a successful business, and we're looking to get company lets. And so, like, they'll ask like for his company because he's like doing well for himself. Yeah, they'll see good checks, so that's kind of how it helped.
With the experience with the SA though, like, would you say that just from your experience, would you prefer like HMOs or SA? Like, moving forward, if you had like another rent to rent or another deals, or you were gonna purchase in the future,
so if I were to go back, I would rather do HMO, and I think that's just because I think I'll learn more from like the deep side of property from it, and it's more stability as well. So like, I know if I've got a tenant in there, they're going to be in there for a long period of time. With SA, so even like another quick story, like I remember we was having like a lot of bookings for the week.
Yeah.
And now we had someone come, and then I think they must have like threw a motive there. So literally when I came the next day, wine everywhere. I was like weeding the carpet. So like we had to cancel all the bookings.
Oh, so you had other bookings.
We had to like get carpets in, get some money. So I was like,
It's a service game, man, with SA, man.
Did you have like a cleaner in there, a linen company? So, or did you do everything by yourself?
So again, so I had a cleaner, and that's probably was the biggest help. That cleaner, he wasn't just a cleaner, he was a plumber. When I came back to London, he would literally come, like he'd be like, oh, someone complained about noise, we'll go and check them for like shout out to him, he did a lot for me still. So it was just building relationships. So I got him through someone I met at a networking event in Nottingham, recommended him, and he literally made the journey so easy for me as well. So even I said to my uncle, I want to be managing everything. I did, but the cleaner did a lot of it as well. Yeah. So
it gets like that sometimes when you can get a cleaner or like a builder who can manage everything for
you.
They're so key, man. I think one of the biggest things that I rate you there in that last story was actually like, number one, having the break clause there.
Yeah.
And actually activating it as well. Because sometimes, you know, in like some of the early deals that I had, it's like, you don't want to let go of it sometimes.
Yeah.
You're like, oh man, like,
I'm still trying to make it work.
Yeah, I have 4 instruments. I don't want to go down to 3.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I want to keep saying I got more than, do you know what I mean? How many you got?
Yeah.
So the fact that you activate that there actually shows maturity as well.
Yeah, I think that was all because it can be an ego thing. Because I remember at the time, I must have like posted on LinkedIn, Instagram. Everyone was shouting me like, Denzel, you're the guy.
so it
was kind of an ego thing, like, oh, I'm proper at 8.
I used to bring the mandem there as well.
So it was like it was a good thing. I was like, do you know what is your long term, do you know what I mean? Long term, it's not gonna, they're not putting me just doing it to please other people kind of.
Yeah, like, it's not making money.
Decision, do you know what I mean? So I was like, do you know what, let me just let go of it and then just continue focusing in. So I didn't take on any other entrants after that. I just continued to focus up and polish on my sourcing game. Amazing. Yeah.
I want to get into the Gen Z club stuff, but with the sourcing quickly, obviously right now you do rent to rent. Is there any other strategies you're trying to like sell as well? Like is you wanna sell flips now? Do you wanna do commercial to resi deals? Like what's the long term like big plan with the sourcing thing?
So to be fair, even though I did start with rent to rent sourcing, I have sourced quite a few buy to lets as well. So I've sourced buy to lets, I've sourced a block of apartments, and large deals, because I think as well, like sometimes the bigger deals take the same amount of time as the smaller deals, but you get like a higher commission. So, with the bigger deals, I usually co-source with someone, even though I still got compliance and I know I still got investors. But again, like I'll always continue to work with other people, man, because they have like credible investors who've got money.
Yeah.
If I can find a deal for them. So when it comes to flips, I don't know. I don't know if I was sourced. I think I'd rather take that for myself because I think the reason I started the sourcing, because I had like this wealth creation model, which I like kind of made up. So it's a thing where like, initially I wanted to start with like financial independence. So like making money for myself. Yeah, I was like, cool, sourcing's the way for that. Then like with the financial freedom, I think it's more like, you know, rent to rents and stuff like that. So, cause I kind of did a bit of both of that. Now I'm trying to get to the wealth creation stage. So like maybe like flips, generating the capital, even potentially HMOs.
Yeah.
And then long-term it'll just be like wealth preservation. So it'll be like, holding buy-to-lets, holding like a big apartment blocks and just collecting that capital. But
you listed Urban Finance.
Urban Finance.
I heard him talk about that model.
Going
back to, because you said you sourced a block of flats. That's not easy. How did that come about? How did you find an investor and how did you find the deal itself?
So that was an investor and he told me like he's got a client who's looking for, so I think he has a Hong Kong investor who's got a lot of
Hong Kong.
Hong Kong, they've got money. Yeah. So,
Singapore.
And I know this guy's very credible as well. So literally he just told me his criteria. So I just spent time writing with alerts, building rapport with agents that I already had. And this was in Nottingham as well. So literally there was an agent who's close to where I was staying in my accommodation, reached out to them. And then you literally from there, they were sending me different, but it wasn't really meeting the criteria.
Right.
Then one came along, kind of got that deal, sold it and went half of it. So
that's it.
Amazing.
So 1% fee each. So that was quite a good one.
Amazing. What location was that?
Nottingham.
Amazing. And you were Gen Z as well. Obviously, seen the networking events. I think you definitely hit a niche with that one. Because I haven't seen anybody do like a Gen Z networking event under 23 or 24.
And it's needed. It's needed.
And you're the almost the face of it.
Yeah.
So how did that come about? Who you're doing that with? And how was the first couple of events? Like, how they going?
Yeah, so do you know what? That started because I think even from young, I always kind of like to be the go-to guy when it comes to networking. So people would shout me, be like, oh, Denzel, I need someone who's a graphic designer. I might have a boy. I'll be like, oh, shout him, this and that. So I think this was even 17. I said to myself, I want to put make an environment where everyone can be together. So I remember it started off literally a Starbucks in Stratford. I was like, I must put on my Snapchat, call everyone, let's link up here. Had about 40 people there.
Starbucks,
sold out Starbucks. We just went there, like took over Starbucks, and I saw different people, met different people. I was like, wow, this is something I can run with. But again, I probably didn't take it seriously as much because I had the property, uni, all this. And then how it actually kind of flourished was from lockdown. So Clubhouse, you know, some Clubhouse. I was hosting rooms like, would you rather have like 500k cash or spend like a month with anyone of your trades kind of thing, like Jay-Z? That's the, do you know what I mean? Stuff like that. So just debates. And then one of my boys who I did now with Austin, he's like, oh, Denzel, like this is something that we can actually grow with. And then he joined, and later on Poku joined. And again, initially I said to myself, I just want to do this by myself, but there's that saying, like, if you want to go fast, go by yourself. If you want to go far, go together. So I was like,
facts.
Cool. I like that mindset.
We've got, like, so me, Austin and Poker, we all have our own businesses outside Gen Z, and we're all very different. So we all have, like, different perspectives, but we've got, like, the same vision for the company. So, we always come together kind of thing. So it literally just was hosting Clubhouse Rooms for 6 months straight. Now, with Clubhouse Rooms, you're not really getting paid for it. So it'll be like, we'll commit to every Thursday, I think it was, just Clubhouse Rooms. Mm-hmm. And again, a lot of people would probably have stopped because it's like, oh, I'm not getting any monetary benefits from it. But we're just like, do you know, just a long-term vision. So then I think obviously lockdown eased up and we had a big demand for networking events. August last year, we hosted our first one in London.
Amazing.
That was about 80 people.
Mad.
Then took it to Nottingham in about October, about 80, 90. Then the one Lamide spoke at in January, that was a big one. That was like 125. Amazing. Then we started getting like a lot of more collaborations. So like, University of Sussex reached out to us. We had an event there in March.
Nice.
We had like a crypto event. We recently had another FBOR event. Then tomorrow we've got a property dinner. So like, although we host big networking events, we're trying to do also like exclusive events. So tomorrow's property by Kazi, he's a guest speaker.
Yes.
Free course meal, 40 people. So even like Aaron and that, they're going to be there as well. So yeah, like it's just literally providing a growth-based platform for young Gen Z. Because as you said, like growing up, business, you don't think that's possible for you. But when you see other people your age doing it, you're networking with them, you know, people have great connections. You know, there's a lot of people like good clothing brands with big talents that are young. Do you know what I mean? So like, we're trying to be like go-to hub for Gen Zs. And it's kind of led to us like also now we're doing consulting and stuff for other firms who are looking to maybe target Gen Zs or also host events for Gen Zs. So I guess the long-term vision from that is literally just to continue to scale it. We've got like an award ceremony at the end of the year as well. So that would be like Young Entrepreneur of the Year or Best Podcast of the Year. Obviously,
That's amazing, man. That's amazing. What's next for you after uni, for instance? Like, what's your plan?
You're saying that you weren't sure that.
Yeah, do you know what it is? I think the last month I've been thinking about that and I've been a bit unsure. And I spoke to my uncle, but he kind of told me like, obviously, one, you're young, so although like you're doing different things, at least you can know what you don't want to do kind of thing.
Yeah,
so he just told me like, so, and this is a task I recommend a lot of people who are stuck, what they want to do. So like, he's like, cool, write down like your 5-year plan, 3-year plan, 1-year plan, and you got to think, cool, so what I need to do in 12 weeks to get to my 1-month plan, what I need to get to my 1-year plan, 1-year to 3-year plan. And then he said like, see your 5-year as a destination. So for example, like coming here, you gave me that address, that's the destination. Now, I can choose to, even if I'm to drive there, to take a train there, whatever, but as long as I'm going to the destination. Yeah. So it doesn't matter if I'm doing it through property, through Gen Z, whatever. And even if like there's like a road closed, I can take another road kind of thing. So when you told me that, it kind of made me realize, I feel like cash flow is king kind of thing. So the sourcing's good, but again, it's not always consistent. And especially now, I'm not sure how you guys are finding it, but I feel like the market's quite tough right now. So I don't know, but it's difficult because I think Gen Z is something I'll say I'm more passionate about. Because property originally, if I'm being honest, I did at the start for the money. Like, do you know what I mean? But because, let's say times when the money wouldn't be as good as before, I kind of realised that Gen Z is something I'm more passionate about, but I still do love property. So I'm a bit unsure where I'm at, just do full-time Gen Z, a bit of property, but then my main goal would be to build up more cash flow and then just play into flips, kind of thing. But I think long-term, I think I would want to be more passive from property because I do enjoy it, but I don't think I'd want to be the...
These things actually happen. Do you know what I mean? Start off trying to do property and get into it and then realise that you actually like designing.
Yeah.
Interior design.
Yeah.
You know, so these things can happen, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
and like you said, the main thing is to get the cash flow, wherever that comes from.
Whatever the goal is.
Put that back into property. So it doesn't need to be the thing that gets the money, but you could, that's where you can store it.
And again, I think it also is, it's hard because, you know, I think, especially the hustle culture is like, oh, don't give up, don't quit kind of thing. And I wouldn't say it's quitting. I think it's just sometimes like reshaping your journey. That it's not like I'm saying, cool, I don't want to stop it completely, but just like, cool, I know if I focus on X, Y, Z, it can do better. Then I still got the property knowledge, some connections. So I can then maybe focus on that, build it up. Because I think Gen Z is something that I can really, really scale on them. Because I'm really passionate about it as well.
Yeah.
So I know that can scale to like crazy levels. I know what if that's clear, I can invest in as much property as I want kind of thing.
Exactly.
I'm a bit unsure right now. I can't lie, I'm just focused like trying to finish my exam.
Yeah,
I'll see you after that. Degree, so,
I think like we normally like to end with like advice, but you've given so much and even then just now you just gave some more. But I think, I think that's it for today.
For me, it's just, I just want to, because he's so young, I just want to see you. Obviously, we'll interview you again. Do you know what I mean? But it's one of those ones where I just want to see where you are in 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20 years. Like, I think the fact that you started so young and you're so consistent and your mindset and everything.
Your mindset is so elite.
It's amazing to see, man. So I just can't wait to see where you go with it, basically. So
yeah, man.
Wherever you go with it, we'll be there supporting you, of course.
We're rooting for you.
Yeah, word, man. Bro. Yeah,
appreciate it a lot. Appreciate it.
But yeah, man, I think we'll probably end the episode there.
Lovely.
Socials.
Oh, that's it. Yeah,
socials. So yeah, my Instagram is _DenzelJones. Property DJ Property _Solutions, and then if you want to come to quick plug, if you want to come to like networking events and network with other like Gen Z, so like different industries, www.thegenzclub.com, and we're also on Instagram as well. So yeah, just get in touch. Yeah,
say no more.
Love that.
But yeah, guys, hope you enjoyed the episode. Stay blessed. Stay investing.
Peace.
I'm going in for the kill. I'm doing.
Yeah, but man, that was so first of the night. No privilege, but I had the option to never be stuck up on the block then. More money, more problems. We don't get along like Arsenal, Tottenham. Everybody wanna hate now, but fuck them. Girl from North London, said I made it. Big Russian must come in function. Stomach a rich man, if I back it and aim it, chop it and shave it. Haters, then they had a struggle for my savings. I'd pop down, now they can't face it. Chased it until I just made it. Ooh. Remember when I couldn't buy food? Now my guy looking all smooth. Lambo chop on the move. Should've rolled out in the pool. But all of these guys won't take them alive.